Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Gabrielle Union strived for the perfection her father always demanded, but as a dark-skinned Black girl, she never felt like she was enough. In our new series, Gabrielle Union, Bigger, Badder, Better, we'll tell you how she learned to embrace the things that scared her and let go of her need to be perfect.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens, Watch What Crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one, the only, the hilarious Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Benuni Bonatoon-toons. What you doing, baby?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I am back in my childhood bedroom because I'm in New York. In advance of our New York show this Thursday, we have our big show in Town Hall, our annual New York City show. It's going to be a big one. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get tickets. We're recapping Real Housewives of New Jersey. We think it's going to be a special show, so you should show up and enjoy it, and it'll be fun. And then on Saturday, we go down to D.C., and we're going to recap Vanderpump Rules in the middle of this maddening and crazy season. That's going to be on Saturday. And then next month, it's pure mayhem in the world of Watch What Crappens. Okay, we are going to be going to San Diego. We're going to be going to Chicago, Columbus, St. Paul. And then we have Boston. And we finish the whole thing up in Connecticut at the Foxwoods Casino. So go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get tickets to those shows. Because then once the tour is over, it's over. So it's going to be super fun. Can't wait to see everyone. Can't wait to be reunited with you, Ronnie, this week. And of course, check out our Patreon for things like bonus episodes and Crappens on Demand so you can watch us. And also, don't forget about Dwell Hello. We had a new one go up last week that was super fun. You can find that. It was like two people in moving to Bali, and they were both very frustrating. So that's on Wondery Plus. So go check that out. And then today, it's the premiere, season premiere of Real Housewives of Atlanta. It is finally back.
Good, strong start to the season, I thought. I was super happy with that. How about you?
I liked it. I liked it.
Okay, that did not sound the same at all.
No,
strong start. You're like, meh.
I didn't feel like it was a strong start, but I didn't think it was a bad start. I thought it was a good start. I mean, I was, you know, it was a start. It was a start.
Yeah.
It was a start, you know?
Well, yeah. I like that Candy came to play this season. Now, Candy gets a lot of shit on the internet for being boring. I don't know that Candy's boring. I wouldn't call her boring. Yeah, she has been around forever. And she will activate a couple of times a season, but for the most part, stay chill.
She'll
stay pretty chill. And I think that she got sick of listening to everybody calling her boring.
Yes.
And she really just came and was like, fuck all of you. And this is my show. So fuck all of you. Also, congratulations to Candy, nominated for an Emmy and a Tony within 1 week.
What, really?
And all the people making, yes.
I didn't realize she got a Tony nomination.
She's a producer of the August Wilson play, The Piano Lesson.
Wow, good for her.
And she also got an Emmy nomination. The Emmy nomination is a little more random. I didn't know they had Emmy categories for this, but it's like Hispanic, Latin heritage content. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what that one is. I have to look more deeply into that one. But hey, an Emmy nom is an Emmy nom. I just don't know how to properly explain it to you guys. But she got that one as well.
That's
so
great.
Last year she said she was going for her EGOT, and there's a chance that she can knock a couple of those pins down. So good for you.
Yeah, she might. I mean, who knows? She could wind up with a get at the very least, and then, you know, next step is just that O. But, you know, I love me some Candy Burris. She's one of my absolute favorites. But I do, like, I feel like some of the shit that's been talked about her has been unfair, because she does, like you said, she does get activated. And she will say, she'll get, like, worked up and everything. But I think where I'm starting to lose some patience is another season of Candy and Todd bickering about not having time for each other. Like, we've been down this path so many times, and to see that that's what this season is heading towards again, I was like, I'm just getting over this. I don't love this. But I will say, everything was very funny. All the confessionals were hilarious.
Well, as far as the Todd stuff, at least we get to see more ways that Todd gets to spend Candy's money.
Yeah, that's true.
I just love seeing how creative Todd gets. It's like Todd gets bored, you know, and he just finds different ways to spend Candy's money every season. Gotta hand it to him. Now he's actually going for the full-on pay for these shitty scripts that I write.
Yep.
He's going down that route. So, you know, good for you. I guess the mac and cheese business wasn't working out. So anyway, before we get into it, not only would I like to congratulate Candy on all those award nominations, I can only hope that Candy would be so lucky to one day be nominated for whatever award is behind you in your hometown bedroom desk. What is that award back there? Yeah, it's like a brown square with a gold rim around it and like a little circle in the middle is behind you. Yeah.
It says,
is it like a drama desk award? What is that?
Should I go pick it up? I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I want to know what it is. I have to know. And also the blue bottles. I want to know what those are as well.
Oh, the blue bottles are bottles of Sky vodka that I was 21 wow. And I was like, oh my God, how cool. Blue bottles of vodka. I'm going to save these forever. And I literally have saved them forever for some reason. Okay, hold on. You talk while I go get this award.
That's so funny. That really does say a lot about that being your childhood bedroom. That you're like, wow, a Sky bottle vodka. Okay, he's grabbing the award and he's coming over back to the computer. Can't wait to know what that is.
Okay,
what is it?
This plaque says it's the Audience Choice Award, first annual student film festival for Dartmouth College, May 25th, 2001. Because I made a little stupid short film and I then made all my friends vote for it. And so I won the People's Choice Award of student films at Dartmouth. You know what the movie was called? It was called Poor Form, and it was about someone who is so sick of people having poor form, like doing things like too much PDA or taking too long to order food or like walking too slowly in a hallway, that he starts handing out letters to people and saying, you are basically a bane to our society.
Well, I think that actually fits in this Todd conversation, you know, because Todd has not properly found a way to spend Candy's money yet. Poor form, Todd. Okay, poor user form, Todd.
Right. And I think that my movie ended, I don't know if it had a great arc, but I think it just ended with basically the guy who was handing it all out was very satisfied with himself at the end, but hadn't really changed anything in the world, but he at least felt better about it, not realizing that he was probably the one committing the most poor form of all.
Oh, well, there you go. That's why it's got a plaque. Okay, so let's get started.
On the way to my EGOT. Yep.
Candy, you know, you can only set your goals so high. So here we are with Real Housewives of Atlanta, episode 1501. So we start with black and white swanky music. And I'm really glad that we got to this, what I thought was going to be a Great Gatsby party right at the beginning, because that is one Housewives trend we have been begging to end, is the Great Gatsby party. Okay. The movie didn't end well. Nothing ends well for anybody in the Great Gatsby. Spoiler alert. They're all goddamn dead. Stop throwing parties based on the Great Gatsby. Okay.
But it was
especially
not
when the world around us is crumbling and banks are failing and there's literal run on the banks and people are like, let's have a Great Gatsby party. Let's fucking not. Okay, let's not have a Titanic party, you know? Let's not do shit like that.
I think a Titanic party would actually be kind of fun. Just like a sideways party. and like lots of ice in your cocktails. So
yeah, you just said the whole party has to tilt somehow.
Yeah, that's all I want.
You just want a cardboard cutout of Kathy Bates slowly passing by while everybody's drowning.
I will take a cardboard cutout of any famous Kathy, to be honest. Kathy Bates, Kathy Baker. Jimmy, Kathy Baker. I'll even take Kathy Ireland. It's not my first choice. So the party.
I'll take Kathy from the cartoon. The cartoon Kathy, just watching everybody die.
Yeah, that's. I think that's all the famous Kathys, right? I think that's it. Kathy.
We made it literally through every Kathy in life.
Every famous Kathy.
So every famous Kathy.
So this party is Ross's, as in Ross of Sanya and Ross, his 40th bash.
Sanya. It's Sanya? Sanya.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Sanya.
This show's confusing Sanya. Because there's right, a Tanya.
There's a Tanya.
Tanya and a Sanya.
I apologize, everyone. Sanya.
We'll just start off on the right foot, you know, if you ever want to get that EGOT.
As the director of the award-winning film Poor Form, I take umbrage to this correction.
We want to get to the BGOT, the spelling bee, Emmy, Grammy. I guess Grammy. It would be a pronunciation bee, so it would be a PGOT.
So, by the way, Vanderpump Rules, speaking of awards, Vanderpump Rules won the MTV Movie and TV Award this weekend, I believe, for Best Reality TV Show. So,
wow.
Wow. Anyway. Wow.
Good luck on your MIGOT, guys.
Wow. Did they win Best Literary Married to Person ever? No, that's too bad.
Wow. Were they ever married to somebody with a Pulitzer? Didn't think so. I don't even know if he has a Pulitzer.
I don't know either.
The Satanic Verses? I don't know. Okay, so anyway, this is like black and white footage, okay? And we see swanky music and people dressed up in their 20s costumes. And Marlo and a little Bob and a cigarette holder. And Sonya's welcoming everybody to the 40th birthday bash. And then we see Candy yelling at somebody saying, "Stop bouncing up in my face. You just bounce up to me." And like 20 octaves. So we know that Candy is going to be activated right in her first episode, which got me really excited.
Yeah. And then she's yelling at this person like, "Clout chase, clout chase. I'm about to headbutt this bitch." Mm-hmm. So she's activated, yes.
Yes. And so then we cut over to Kenya, and she's talking to Ralph, who's come to the party alone. And she's like, "What happened to your wife?" And he's like, "Oh, you know, there was a family emergency, so she couldn't really make it to this."
I'm like, did she break her leg again? Did she tear another Achilles heel? Achilles tendon. So then Sheree and Martell arrive. And Sheree's like, "Martell and I are officially dating." But then we also hear gossip, because then we hear, "Me and Candy heard that he was also dating someone in Atlanta." Because I think it was Kenya who said that. I could be wrong.
And Kenya saying, "Oh, and he also tried to DM me." I was like, oh, great. Another one of these DM. We just got finished with one of these on Potomac. I don't need another "your man is trying to DM me." Okay? Another
Giselle Bryant playbook here. So then,
yeah, well, that one would be the Ashley Darby one, because Ashley was the one who was like, "Your husband DM'd me and told me to come to a club, that come to a hotel at 2 a.m.
That's true.
That's the hotel that he worked at, and you literally posted something saying, "What should I do at 2 a.m? And he's like, "Come by my place at the W or whatever." Mm-hmm. Ashley, you know what, Ashley? That still stinks, that storyline. We're supposed to be over it. I'm not over it, Ashley. That still smells. It's still smelly, Ashley.
Yeah. So Kenya's like, "Yeah, he tried to DM me." And Sheree's like, "He tried to DM you?" And then Martell saying like, "I don't give a fuck." And then we see Sheree going, "No, no, 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 no." And then Kenya's like, "You cheated on your wife and you're going to do it to Sheree. And once a cheater, always a cheater, you fucking piece of shit."
And then we get a "uts." And it's 4 days earlier. So, wow, all that's coming up.
Wow.
So, Sheree's at home, at Chateau Charest, and we see a guy's legs getting out of the car. Ding dong! And it's Martel showing up in a tuxedo.
Yeah, and I apologize. I have to say this because I took the time to write down these stupid lyrics for Trixie, and I didn't do any other Trixie lyrics. I didn't do any others, but for some reason I did these. Trixie's lyrics to start the show. Watch your head, watch your legs when you step in. I'm loyal to the team, and that's the only thing I'm repping. A little food for thought, because I'm flexing with your breakfast. I'm speeding on that exit like I'm about to mix the check-in. I think I got it wrong. Some of Trixie's greatest work.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. So this guy is a pig. So we already know that this guy's a pig.
He's terrible.
First of all, even if you don't watch his other show, which we don't, neither one of us do, Love and Marriage Huntsville, I believe he's on the Huntsville one. No offense for not watching it, but we have enough crap on this channel.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not switching to another channel for more crap. I've got enough on this channel. And so we've read about stuff that he's done on that show. Apparently he's cheating on his wife, as Kenya just said. Cheating. And then he's got some other lady that I guess he cheated with that's trying to, you know, get on that show. And, okay, so...
A trail of disaster all you have follows to do is, him.
Yes, all you have to do is really Google him to know that he's a piece of shit. But even if Google wasn't here and wasn't a thing, we know he's a piece of shit because Sheree's dating him. And Sheree only dates pieces of shit. That's just how Sheree is. She's just one of those people. We all have that girlfriend in our life who only dates pieces of shit. So, you know, he's a good-looking piece of shit, though.
He is a good-looking piece of shit, which is how usually pieces of shit get away with it. But... I'm starting to be convinced that Sheree somehow had like some scientific experiment done on her where her DNA was fused with the DNA of a bull, because when she sees a red flag, she fully charges towards it. Like, she sees a red flag and she is like, I'm all about it. Give me that red flag, wrap me up in it, and let me just enjoy this red flag couture, because that's all... Oh, sorry, my headphone just fell out. That's all that she does, is just run to the red flags. This guy has so many red flags. Like Ronnie said, you just do a simple Google search and you see everything. There was, he had like the original wife with the five kids, and then had the mistress and left all those kids for the mistress while the wife was pregnant. Then there was the mistress, and then he left the mistress, and it like just goes on and on and on. And Sheree's like, seems good to me. She's got pecs.
So. Yeah. Sounds like a date to me, says Sheree. Mm-hmm. Now listen, I know that we're all attracted to a good body, right? Like, that's normal. We're human. So if someone is working out a lot, taking good care of themselves, it's natural to get a boner for that person. I'm just here to warn you against it, because people who work out that much are very horny because they have a lot of blood vessels that work still. What I suggest is finding someone out of shape and just exhausted. Mm. Me. I'm not going to cheat on you. I'm tired, okay? My blood vessels don't work. They're barely keeping my ankles stuck to my feet. I'm not going to be cheating on you, okay? Date a chubby person. Date a sedentary person. That's what I would suggest if you want someone to stay true to you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting theory. So either way, Martel has come back. He has just done a photo shoot for Upscale Magazine. You know it's an Upscale Magazine because it's in the name. So congratulations to subscribers to Upscale Magazine. You're upscale too.
I don't think there's anything actually upscale that's called upscale. <He's> like, <it's, laughs> only cheap just, shit is called upscale.
Upscale.
There's I'm nothing a fancy classy named upscale. Yes, classy magazine, you know, or it's like Fancy Feast. The cat, if that's cat food, you know, nothing, nothing is labeled like that.
I'm an elegant person magazine.
And so, of course, he's telling her all she needs to hear. He's like, oh, my God, what are you looking this good for? God, you're gorgeous. And she's like, so how did everything go with Upscale Magazine? You look so handsome. You look so handsome. He's like, oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Have you already been working out? Because she's showing out her She by Sheree duds, right. Which are like a price comes up on screen. And it's Shein by Sheree, as we all know. And it's like... $900.
No, for like a zipper. And by the way, we also got to see Martell doing his photo shoot for Upscale magazine, and he's like basically in someone's closet. Like you see like a little doorway right there. It's just very upscale. So Shrey's like, well, I met Martell through a mutual friend, and he's on a reality show, and we really enjoy each other's company. He has a big dick, great body, basically, that's what I'm saying, and he lives in Huntsville, Alabama, so I want him to move closer, and he probably will do it, because my show's bigger than his show, so that's how reality stars work.
Shrey also loves a man who's not there, which I can totally understand. She loves an absent man. It's like the minute that guy got out of jail, she was over him, you know? And I think that would be the same thing with Martell. She likes some distance.
Mm-hmm.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
From Wondery comes a new series, Flipping the Bird, Elon versus Twitter, a story about what happens when the richest man on the planet decides to acquire a powerful social media company in the name of free speech. But does he have what it takes?
It started off promising.
Or is this all just about Elon?
He's essentially mad that his tweets aren't performing as well as he would have expected them to.
It really just felt like, okay, this really is just a platform being ruled by a dictator who does things on his own whims.
And what will be left of Twitter by the time he's done?
Basically, my entire team was gone. By the end of it, infrastructure was just completely gutted. He'll like tweet a thing and then everyone's like, we gotta work on that now because he tweeted it.
I'm supposed to believe this man is a genius.
It just felt like everything was kind of descending into chaos.
Follow Flipping the Bird wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to episodes ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
So she tells us that despite what we've seen on TV, Martell has never shown her anything but respect. And she's just really happy that she didn't give up on love or terrible men with very obvious histories and patterns.
And then we see a clip of the guy from last year. She's like, I'm so glad I left the door open. And then we see a clip back to you, duplicitous fuck, dumb as fuck, crazy as fuck. And he's like, well, aren't you gonna apologize to me because you tried to get me back in jail by trying to have lunch with me?
Yeah, so the producer's like, are you in love? And she goes, I didn't say that. And the producer's like, well, but you said you didn't close the door to love. And she goes, the door's still open. It's still available for very attractive men who have horrific track records to come through. Yes.
So she has hired a caterer to come over, Jessica. So she comes to set up a beautiful, romantic dinner. And she's like, oh. Martell definitely exudes big dick energy, which then we get a slow-mo of him changing and pulling up his pants, and then his pants get stuck on his big wiener.
Right. He's facing the camera wall. Like, first of all, by the way, okay, when you put on your pants, this is for the ladies out there. When you put on your pants, it's not that hard to get clearance over the dick. Sorry, even if you have a big dick, it's really not hard. So if you do that thing where you just like stop it, like you wedge your zipper on your ball sack in your underwear and you're doing it aiming towards the camera, you know what you're doing. You're doing that on purpose right there.
Oh, well, of course. He better.
And by the way, of course, I think it should also be known that while this guy has a blatant red flag and seems like he will lead Shrey down a path of hurt, I fully support her enjoying a hot piece of ass.
Yes, of course. And he comes down and goes, oh, so this was the surprise you're telling me about? I thought it was something else because I saw a girl at the door and I said, already?
Sir, it's called free food and enjoy it, please.
Yeah, like hold off on the threesome jokes. You know, let's get through the salmon. Let's
just enjoy three sides instead. Okay, I know you're ready for your side chick, but please enjoy a side of okra first.
So, Sheree says that she considered a threesome with her ex-husband, and the funny thing is that he ended up doing it with someone else, which,
I guess the funny thing, I guess.
That really is funny.
That is a bundle of laughs for you, Sheree.
But, you know, just another tip to anybody not feeling confident, Bob Whitfield has threesomes. So, listen, don't limit yourself.
Yeah, Bob Whitfield, yeah. So
The most they important stand, thing in life is not looks. They stand on each other's
shoulders. Yeah.
It's not looks. It's not money. It is confidence. Mm-hmm. Okay? It is confidence. Blind confidence.
And stepladders.
So they start talking about the Sonia's the birthday party that she's throwing for Ross. And we see the invite. And it's like an over-explainy invite. I didn't approve of the invite. What did you think? You know, it was like, welcome to Ross's milestone birth. Just say it's his fucking 40th birthday. Send me something to click in the email, okay? Who uses paper anymore? Save a tree.
You know, I actually did not stop to look at the invitation, but when you say it was over-explaining, in my mind, the invitation is just like one of those jib-jab animations of like, come to the 40th birthday for Ross. Bah, 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 bah. Which feels like
it's like a paragraph of stuff, you know, where we don't need that. Mm. Like just say 40th birthday party. I don't need the adjective. So she gets that, and yeah, just like I felt like my time was wasted just seeing a clip of the invitation.
Candy's gonna be there, and Sheree is not happy about that because Candy called Martell an opportunist because Candy has been doing stupid Instagram videos still, and they're making
those
Sheree
are
mad.
Not stupid. Those are amazing.
I apologize. They're amazing.
She's gonna get a TikTok agot because those are really funny, where she just lip syncs to lines from the show and plays all the different characters. I think those are actually really good. I think that's like the least. That's the least awkward acting work I've seen Candy do. Although I haven't seen her most recent show, I have to say.
Well, I rescind it because I will watch them again with an open... Actually, I've never watched them in the first place, so I really should not be passing judgment.
How dare you just assume?
Just from what assuming. I saw on the show here, just what they presented me, I was like, okay, well, fine. Fine.
Well, you know what assuming does? It makes an ass out of ooming. So you shouldn't do that.
No, I don't want to
do that. So Martell is mad because Candy has been calling him an opportunist on her YouTube show. And he's like, well, I guess you forgot what an opportunist is. Your husband. Fair, which that's true.
Fair.
I'm not. I think that that's fair as Todd is at home writing Todd and the Furious for Candy to drop millions of dollars on to make him feel
Todd
taller.
Park.
But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Todd's. No, that doesn't work. Like beaches, but just with Todd.
The Todd.
Todd mourning the loss of his friendship with Todd.
Todd Gunn, Maverick,
Super Toddio,
Nomad Todd.
Okay, you have a point, Martell. I get it. But they're married. You're just an opportunist who's dating. You know what I mean? Todd at least like gave her children and helps take care of the children and run her businesses. He does husbandly duties to kind of earn it. You're just an opportunist who just shows up on whatever fucking show he can and screws people over. So you're not on the same playing field, sir. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Watch your mouth. Watch your goddamn mouth about Todd.
Because like Martell, he is a real estate agent, but he's like an entrepreneur, but he's also doesn't do like public speaking. I kind of feel like anyone who does like anyone who is a multi-hyphenate and real estate is in there. I'm just gonna say you're an opportunist. That's just especially once you add real estate agent in there. Nothing against real estate agents. It's just when you're like, I'm a real estate agent / motivational speaker. I'm always like, feels
opportunist. I'm actually okay with real estate agents because that requires like licensing and like you could have a bus bench with your face on it. So I think that's real. But he does have two things in that hyphenate that bug me: life entrepreneur. Coach.
Yeah.
Entrepreneur. And did you say life coach?
Or I didn't. Speaker? I think I said motivational speaker, but I...
Motivational speaker. So motivational speaker and entrepreneur, those two things combined, I'm sorry, but I don't believe in you.
Yeah, I'm looking at Martell's. Okay, so this is Martell's, his link tree. He has, I think it looks, oh God, he has some sort of wine brand called, it says I-N-E-S-T, Inest Wine. Don't name your wine something that looks like incest. Not Inest Wine. What's wrong with you, Martell?
That's terrible. Yeah, it's not a good sign either. Yeah, you're a bad, on top of everything else, you're a bad entrepreneur, okay?
Oh,
Inest Wine.
Jesus. Like, Edophilia Wine. Like, don't do that.
Don't share it with your kids. We know it's wine.
This is what hot people can get away with. That's what I've got to
say. Seriously. Yeah, you work out. You work out enough and people don't tell you your wine is one letter away from incest. So
incest wine.
They're just like busy. They're just busy looking at your open zipper trying to get your dick inside. You know? All right, so let's go over to the candy factory. Carmen and Don Juan are getting their screen time in right at the beginning, which is cute. It's good to see Carmen. Love Carmen. She's still got her own. She's an insurance or something now, right?
What's she have no idea what Carmen is up to these days, but she obviously is back in the candy factory because she needs to. So they're there. It's like Don Juan, Carmen, and Candy. They're joking that the candy code click is back together. And, Carmen's like, did you miss me? And Candy's like, of course I miss you. And Don Juan's like, yeah, she has no friends. She doesn't miss you. She needs you. Because otherwise it's like Sonya and Drew.
So they start talking about Sheree because Sheree's very mad. She's not been finding these spoofs very funny that Candy has been making. She doesn't like that Candy has been talking shit about her man. She doesn't. They're fighting. They're beefing right now. Yeah. And then we see a clip of a blogger saying, I'm looking at Sheree's website now, and the website is shut down again. And then we cut to Sheree saying, now, people look at that and they think that that's not a good thing. But if that many people came to your site to crash it, that would be a good thing. So thank you. Thank you for crashing my site. Pay more on your host, Gator. Stop pretending that people are trying to get Taylor Swift tickets.
Taylor Swift and Tyler Swift too. I don't know who Tyler Swift is, but like Tyler Swift is probably getting more internet traffic than she by Sheree.
Tyler Swift, her site would crash too. You know why? Because she's paying the same level you are on host, Gator.
Tyler Swift. Right. This is why you can't name your wine Inest, because see how easy it was to turn Taylor Swift into Tyler Swift? Yeah, Taylor Swift is much more famous.
Oh my God. Tay-cest Swift.
Swift. Incest Swift? Swift incest. She by incest?
Taylor Swift-cest. Coming to a tad near you.
Because now we got bad incest. So... Sheree is pulling a Karen Huger, sort of in the same vein of you got to make millions to owe millions on taxes. She's saying you have to have a huge amount of traffic to have your site crash.
You literally don't. By the way, we are people with a small site. We understand. Like, Ben, our site is crashing. And he's like, are you on it right now? I'm like, yeah. He's like, me too. That's why. And I'm like, okay, I'll switch to a different window.
It literally was slow this morning. I was like, God damn it.
God damn it.
We understand. We understand the levels of host Gator. Okay.
Yeah, we understand.
So just follow our advice. So they're talking and Candy's like, listen, I've tried to help Sheree. Sheree pretends I do nothing for her. I've tried to help her, but she won't pay anybody, first of all. And you can't get anybody professional to help you if you don't pay for them. Right?
Yeah.
And she's like, I love Sheree, but she's just not very professional. So then they start talking about Candy Coated Nights coming back. And
I didn't realize it really had gone, but I guess it had. Because I just feel like we're always getting some iteration of Candy Coated Nights. It's like, it was Candy Coated this or Candy Coated that or vibrators or buzzers or anal probes.
Look, Candy Coated Nights is the sex talk show, right? She does.
I'm assuming she's going to be launching a podcast, right? Because if you're on Bravo, you are obligated to start a podcast. And actually, so I'm assuming that this is what this is going to be now, right?
I support Candy for mostly everything. And it's not about the general sex talk on Candy Coated Nights. I don't want to hear about you fucking Todd or like when she talks about licking Todd's balls. I'm out. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm out. Life is too short.
This is where we could use
Martell. So is Todd, frankly.
This is where we could use Martell. Like, if it was Martell, I'd be like, okay, he's clearly a disaster, but that visual works a little bit more for me than Todd.
Yeah. So then she talks, because it's Candy, so we have to be reminded that her ongoing storyline is that she's very busy and she doesn't have time for her kids, but she's going to really try this year. And then we see a clip of her actually in the confessional with Ace calling, and he's crying. And he's like, Mommy, I want you to help me. And she's like, can't your auntie help you? I think meaning the nanny.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, but I want you to help me. And she's like, I'm sending you a bill for the $60 that you just spent of my time. Goodbye. Click.
Yeah, because she says that Ace told Candy that she works too much, which I feel like is, this makes me raise an eyebrow, because at what point, like, where did Ace get that idea from, right? Like, Ace, that's clearly Todd telling that to Ace, like, oh, well, Mommy works too much. Mommy's working too hard, which I think is fucked up. I mean, yeah, I could be making an inference, but I think it's fucked up to be putting your kid in that situation, like, basically using the kid to win your argument.
I just would tell my kid to shut up, and this is Mommy's working so you can have the mansion that you're living in, so shut the fuck up, okay? I'm gonna go show you a cardboard box you could be living in if Mom wasn't working so much.
And that applies to Todd too.
How about you quiet the fuck down? How about instead of crying, you pick up a fucking mop?
You brat. How about instead of crying, you pick up a pencil and help your father with his screenplay? Probably would improve it, to be honest.
The writing level is probably on par, let's face it. So Kenya arrives in slow motion.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how they just always like do it, Kenya. They love a Kenya arriving in slow motion moment on this show. And she is coming to Candy's. So is Moneta. Moneta's back. And Moneta's another one that we're like, okay, Moneta, we're going to bring you back, but you have to say more than two things this year, okay? Promise? Okay, let's give it a go.
Bravo was like, last season of Atlanta, not great, not great ratings. Let's keep the cast exactly the same, including the Friendzos. That'll fix it.
Let's change nothing.
Let's have Moneta back. We don't want to miss out on her. So
it sounds like Todd and Candy's marriage. They're like, you know, this marriage really isn't working. You know what we should do? Change nothing. Let's just do the same thing every year.
Exactly. So Moneta shows up, and she was upset because I guess Candy and Moneta had a small beef that's already been resolved, because Candy thought Moneta was agreeing with Marlo last season over some, I forgot even what it was.
Marlo was talking shit about Candy.
Yeah.
And Moneta was sitting there listening to her talk the shit in Jamaica, and she was agreeing with her. She was like, yeah, well, I mean, you know, Candy can be that way or whatever. So Moneta starts with a public apology to Candy.
Yeah.
In her confessional, saying, you know, I didn't like the way that was perceived at all, and I'm so sorry about that. Which, you've already lost me, Moneta. I don't care how much you talk. Coming back on to publicly apologize because that person got you a job in the first place, boring. Go away.
There's a reason why we're already talking about Martel way more than Moneta, because Martel, despite everything, knows how to play the reality show game. Moneta, starting her second season with an apology for a beef that we haven't even seen yet.
Yeah, that's not how you do it. From last year.
It's not how you do it. So,
You go with your so.
You know what?
Relax.
My version of so goes like this. They send the kids away and start talking about a party. And because Heath had a party and Kenya went to it. And by the way, when I say send the kids away,
no,
I
had Don Juan and
but when I say kids, I meant Carmen and Don Juan, I should just clarify. So Heath, which is Moneta's guy, had a party, and Kenya went to it, and then she met a guy there that she really liked.
I thought Kenya didn't go to it. She said, I didn't come to the party, but I came. And then they laugh. She did come. You're right. I'm sorry. God, all I have to do is keep reading the notes.
This is a very important plot point of the episode. And I would wager to say that every single thing that happens after this is based on this moment. So make sure you get it right, Ronnie.
Yeah. So she tells us that Moneta is friends with a super bachelor. A super bachelor. It's not just a bachelor. He's a super bachelor. Generally speaking, super bachelor.
Super bachelor.
Not generally the kind of guy you want to date.
All right. Not my cup of tea. Super bachelor. Don't love it.
Named Roy. And she's really crazy about him. He's kind to her. He's funny. He makes her feel alive. And he's not bad on the eyes either.
What could go wrong?
Is he a hooker? Because that's not like any man I've ever heard of. He makes me feel alive. He's not bad on the eyes. And he's kind to me. I don't know who you're dating, but they're presenting.
He has the same name as the terrible family in Succession. So just think about that, too.
So is he an entrepreneur and a motivational speaker?
And a realtor.
Just...
So Kenya's talking about how she's been separated since 2019. And she's like, this chocolate Barbie doll looks too good to be single for too long. And yeah, everything's awakened. She just feels like a woman again, you know. So, you know, again, more props to getting hot ass, etc. Just, again, red flags everywhere, all over, etc. Et
so they start talking about Sheree and how Sheree's mad at her for the spoofs that she's been posting. And Candy's like, what about all those times I posted on social media about her and how great she is and her business, etc.? And so then Candy says that, you know, Sheree wanted to be clickbait, so she's clickbait. And it's when they show part of the reunion where Sheree's like, she's just posting me because I'm clickbait. I'm just clickbait. That's why my site's down. Just clickbait. Say my name, my site will come down.
Everyone's been baited. So, yeah, Candy's like, well, I was definitely being a petty Betty when it came to Sheree, and apparently she never remembers the things I say about other people. Like, I'm going to do a you on you, and I'm going to be like, what do you mean? I don't know what I wrote.
She says, apparently Sheree never remembers the things she says about other people. Girl, I'm going to do a you on you.
Oh, yeah, when she's, like acting she's, like, basically, so what? I'm gonna do, what did I say? Yeah.
I'm going to do you. Yeah, I'm going to be you to you. And so...
I was like, what is this?
Yes. So now they start talking about the party, and Kenya's like, do you think Sheree's going to bring her new boo? And they're like, yeah, I mean, is she being serious? She cannot be serious about this guy, because they've all heard about this guy. It is on television. Right. Mm-hmm. And Candy's like, oh, so these streets have been talking to you too, because they also say that he's been kicking it with some ladies here in Atlanta. And Candy's like,
you see all the headlines.
We see the headlines. Martell Holt allegedly cheating on Sheree with a younger woman. Graphic details.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
And Kenya's like, and it's like a little awkward because like he did lightweight try to talk to me. He reached out via Instagram. And she pulls it up. She does have a message in her message request folder that she's not accepted from him, but it's empty. So he deleted the message. So we don't know what he wrote. But I mean, we do see that he at least tried to contact her, right? Because he's in the requests, right?
Yeah, but that was weird because the message was empty. So you're saying that means that he deleted it?
He deleted it.
Then why would the message still stay? But then why would the message request still stay?
Well,
why wouldn't it be deleted?
I think it's just, I don't know. I'm not going to always rely on Instagram for making sense and how things work. But that's how it is.
Well, I think if it was really bad, Kenya would have screenshot that. Mm-hmm. Also,
I think you're right. He probably said hello, and then she didn't respond, and then he's like, shit. So then he deleted it.
Yeah, and she said also he did lightweight try to talk to me, meaning he probably just said sup or something like that.
Right, which is still not a crime.
Not a crime, but still not great. But when you're dating her friend on the show, you know?
That's true, too.
So, also, why are we trying to stick up for Martell when we know he's a total sleazebag?
I'm not. I'm like, I'm like, oh, this shows that Martell was trying to do something.
I'm still in my Chris Bassett mode, where I'm like, oh, I mean, Chris Bassett's not great, but are we really going to do this to Chris Bassett right now? And I need to remember this is a different storyline.
Well, I don't think it's the crime to write hello to someone in a DM, but then the deletion of the hello this was sort of strange to me. So this is, to me, this is a little stranger than the Chris Bassett situation. So I'm squinting my eyes a little bit.
Basically, they start talking about how Kenya says that every time a woman even looks at Martell, she comes back pregnant. And Sheree no longer has a period, so she doesn't have to worry about that. So then they talk about what a thirst trap he is, and they look at all his shirtless pictures on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. Candy says Todd's trying to write a movie, but he feels like she doesn't make time to help him, but he makes time to help her, and it's not fair.
Of course. Oh, God. Well, of course Todd can make time to help Candy, because Todd's literally doing nothing. He's writing movies, okay? Candy says that right now Todd has multiple movies that he's written that he wants Candy to produce, of course. And she's like, I don't have time to produce it. For as much as Todd's like, I'm independent, I don't need Candy, why are you going to Candy to produce the movies then? You should have enough connections that you can get someone else to produce your movies at this point.
That's the thing. You have enough connections through Candy that you should be able to call. You should be able to call Tyler Perry up and say, I wrote this. What do you think about this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
His background is what I'm saying. Yes. His background is a production. You know. Do an indie production. Do it. You could do it.
And through Candy, you know everybody in Atlanta production, I'm sure. So if you can't get that produced, it's bad. Okay? And it's really bad for you to have to ask. It's embarrassing for you to have to ask Candy for money to produce this movie, Todd. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for you. Normally, I'm just annoyed with you, but now I'm actually embarrassed for you because now you're shameless. Before, you were at least like, I'm not spending her money. At least I work a lot at the restaurants. There's no air conditioning that works. You never fix the electricity box on that restaurant. But now you're just shamelessly taking her money for bad scripts that you can't sell anywhere else. You suck, dude. So she starts crying. And she tells a story about how he wanted to do a get-together for a script. So he invited all these people. It's at 11. She had plans at 11. But she's like, fine, I will cancel my plan. So then the day of, he said, oh, the table reads at 4. And she's like, but I thought it was at 11. And he said, no one else could do 11. So I changed it. And then she does her Candy cry voice. And she's like, bah. I said, when you asked me to move it, I could not move it. I am a frustrated.
I understand. Don't make me the villain. I understand. I'm doing a lot. And I understand. I can be frustrating, but don't. Because she's basically saying, like, okay, when I said, could you move it from 11 because I have a conflict, you couldn't move it. But now when other people say, oh, I have a conflict, he can suddenly move it. And the truth is, that is bullshit. I'm mad at Todd all over again because you can't go and ask Candy for money and say, be a producer. You can't complain that Candy doesn't have time for this. Candy doesn't have time for that. But by the way, could you produce my movie? And by the way, I'm not going to accommodate your schedule as the producer. It does not work like that, Todd. I am sorry. That gets a big family feud from me.
And she says, you know, I understand that he wants to make his dreams come true as well, but I don't know how to make all of this work. You know, you make him work. You don't have to make this. You can't make somebody else's dream come true, okay? You can open a door. And frankly, you are a gaping open door, and you have been for years. If this fucker isn't going to wipe his feet on the welcome mat and walk through the door, there's nothing else you can do, okay? You're a fucking arch. You're the St. Louis arch. That door is so open, okay? That's all he can do. The only person that can make him successful is his damn self. So please stop trying, because I'm sick of watching it, okay? Yeah. So, sick of it.
And then Kenya's like, well, I don't want to ever see you in divorce court like me. So my sisterly advice is you got to make time for your husband. I mean, yes, spouses should spend
literally
time with each
says
other,
the woman who wouldn't even move to the same place as the man she married.
Well, that's the lesson she learned.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, that's what she's saying. But it sounds like Todd is always guilting Candy into spending more time, but then he fills his time up with stupid projects that go nowhere and spend her money. So, and then she has to make more
money. His currency is guilt. His currency is guilting her. He guilts her into making her a part of everything that she wants to do so he can say he was a part of doing it in the first place. Like, he calls his IMDb is filled with all of the stuff that she's done, all the spinoffs and stuff like that. So he uses guilt, I think, to include herself, to puff himself up so that he can be considered a screenwriter or a producer, but then still needs to use her money. Listen, enough, because I'm going to be going off on Todd all season. I've just had enough. I hope they don't get divorced because they have these two kids, but I hope at some point she just is like, do something by yourself without me.
Uber.
It's your
drive
test.
Uber, please. Drive Uber. No Hawk. Shame in it. Okay.
Yeah.
Lyft. Postmates.
Something. Great. Anything. Literally anything.
So now we go to Sonia's house, and Sonia, like, Ross is there in a t-shirt that says bop, bop, bop. So she's trying to sell that now. And we
so
see
is she. They're both in bop, bop, bop sweatshirts.
Bop, bop,
from
bop.
Their, I'm from Jamaica. Bop, 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 bop.
Bop, bop, bop,
bop, bop, bop. That's your tagline. Who brought Sonia back to this show selling sweatshirts that say bop, bop, bop? Get in here and take her back out, please. Thank you.
I just want
the hell casting.
Bop, bop, bop. So, anyway.
So, who did America steal Bop 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 from?
Please welcome James Beard Award winning t-shirt, Bop Bop and Bop. So, everyone's living in this house.
I'm sorry, Ben. I'm so sorry. Because I interrupt you all the time.
Oh, it's fine.
I admit that I do it, and I apologize. But I can't let this pass. It not only says Bop Bop Bop, it says Bop Bop Bop. And then under it, it says noun, when you did that.
I mean, look, I can see that people would find that t-shirt funny because it's like, obviously, like, it's rooted in like a sort of a cultural in-joke. I just feel like it's like it's funny that there's like the blatant second season got to capitalize on a thing I tried to make happen for my character, you know, like t-shirts.
I get it's a housewife thing to do, but you know, it's like Lala, like give them Lala as her business. But like when she did the send it to Daryl thing on Vanderpump Rules, she did that on her TikTok and it went viral for a weekend. So she sold the t-shirts for it to make a quick buck off of it. You right. know, stuff like that I get, but you bop, bop, bop is not yours. A, okay. You didn't make that up. And then B, you tried to make it happen literally every 5 minutes. C, it didn't happen. And D, now you're putting noun when you did that under it. No, fail, no, to this whole thing.
Does not like the bop, bop, bop. So, anyway, guess what? The whole family is still living in the house, and now there's even more family. And so for those who missed the storylines of Portia, they're back. And now Sonia's brother-in-law is her assistant. And basically we see a whole, like a literal family tree. We see a tree. We see everyone in the house. And basically Sonia's planning this party. The location cancels on her at the last minute, so she has to find a new location, which sounds like that's what her storyline is going to be this episode. But that's where it begins and ends, because she finds a location and the party goes on without a problem. And we're going to be celebrating Ross turning 40 years old.
Yeah, because her last... She was so embarrassed last season when she tried to throw a party and everyone made fun of it and how shitty and poor it was. And then we see clips of... It's giving Party City. She does not... Sheree. She does not have white meat chicken. There are no bartenders. And there's a photo booth that doesn't work. Like, they hated that party. So now she's decided she's going to spend $100,000 on this one. And the theme is Harlem Nights. And so then we see the invitation. And it says, join us as we celebrate Aaron's milestone birthday with a night reminiscent of the Harlem Nights era of black excellence and elegance.
And furthermore, there will be a coat check and there will be a buffet. Buffets with chafers, so please enjoy that. Please try not to overindulge, as there we do have a limited supply of food. Also, would love to say the weather is anticipated to be in the high 60s, but there is a chance of some rain, so please be sure to bring an umbrella.
It's a big night for black excellence, because that is also a topic on the new Summer House Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
Wink, wink! Because we will be covering that as well this week. So
yes, join us. That topic that comes up.
Sure does. So she's like, I feel pressure now to show them I can do this. And so then they start talking about how hard it is for Terrell to be her assistant. That's her brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And she's telling us, my brother-in-law is having a hard time getting into real estate, so I thought having him as my assistant would allow him to, like, network and meet the right people. And we know this is not going to work out immediately because Terrell goes, yeah, I mean, you're just always trying something, like a podcast, an interview, a flight here. Put this on my calendar. Something. Hi, you're a fucking assistant. Are you literally complaining about your free rent and having to use an iCal? Get rid of him.
Yeah, this is that's not gonna be I'm gonna sneeze
this
right now.
This is not gonna work.
As a protest. I'm gonna sneeze in protest right now.
Yeah. I hate you as my assistant. You're terrible. God, I wish I had an assistant just so I could say things like that. Are you really complaining about my iCal? Get out. So his wife, Sherry. You see there, I sherried it right out of you. So Sherry's like, well, I think you don't respect boundaries. We get a utz. And she's like, because you're trying to find things for him to do instead of just allowing him to eat his dinner. Assistants don't get to eat their dinner. Yes. You know how you eat your dinner when you're an assistant or really in any job? You eat it while you look at your phone. You scroll through your fucking Instagram, and when somebody tells you you have to do something, you go make an iCal, and it's not the end of the world. How about a thank you? Can I get a thank you?
Have you never seen a delightful comedy about a busy boss who's always putting everything onto their assistant who's frazzled? Have you never seen that? Have you never seen White Lotus season 2? Have you never seen Devil Wears Prada? Assistants are meals are a luxury for an assistant, okay? Assistants have to stand around and then just go run frantically into a room with their phone.
Yeah, assistants do not have boundaries. Okay. So then we go to, and by the way, neither do podcast hosts or anybody else with a serious job. Your job calls, you deal with it. This is 2023. These fuckers can get you anywhere. Okay. Ben can find me at any time of the day and say, hey, why is this Instagram fucked up? Do you think I get to finish my dinner? No. Why are we so mad?
I'm about to say, I'm like, we're like two old ladies today. We're like, do your job.
I'm like, literally, this is such a Monday first show of the week.
It's called do your job.
Yeah, I'm literally furious with everything for no reason. Like, I'm not even mad. I don't feel mad.
We're like, you know what? If you're an assistant, you're supposed to be abused and unhappy and be traumatized for the rest of your life because that's your job.
I just can't imagine living in someone's house and then they give you a job because you can't find a job, and then complaining that you don't get to eat your dinner.
Yeah,
are
I don't
fucking
like that.
Kidding me? Right. Like, look, I'm still mad. I'm not even going to explain it.
No, I agree. So this is a legitimately ridiculous thing that they're saying. And then Sherry has this whole story, like, we eat dinner at 6:30 every day, and I'll be plating dinner, and Sanya will, you know what, I'm going to say Sanya to be passive aggressive to my sister, will say to my kids, you want to go outside? And now I have to be the evil villain that says, no, you can't go outside because Dingbat decided to ask a 4- and 5-year-old at 6:29 when dinner's at 6:30 if they wanted to go outside because she's in a bubble and not paying attention to anyone else. I'm like, or you could just, it's not about being the evil, just say to your kids, no, it's time to eat. This is me as a non-parent saying this. I know all the parents are like, oh, you wish it were that simple with a 4- and 5-year-old. I get it. But also, I just don't feel like this is the strongest complaint one can make right now.
Well, the 6- and 5-year-old are like assistants. They don't get to decide to go outside whenever they want. You tell them no. And if you're the villain, who cares? You're the mother.
Exactly.
You're also
that's what my parents. By the way, say, get back here, eat your dinner.
Yeah. By the way, you're cooking, which means you're holding a wooden spoon. If they still insist on going outside, do what my mother did: chase their asses around with a wooden spoon until they listen to you. Do I have to do everything in this household?
This is what you do. You say, "Listen, kids, I don't care what your crazy aunt said. You don't get to go outside, so you come in here, you eat your dinner, and then you help your father with his script."
Yeah. So then we go to Kenya, and she's
wait. I just want to say. Also that
Sherry says, you know, when Sonia was running track and there was there was a time when that was the priority. Like, we would drop everything for her, you know? So shifting to understand that that's not a priority or even close anymore is a bit of struggle for her. Basically saying, oh, well, she's not the star she used to be, so therefore we don't have to do everything for her anymore. I'm like, you're living in her house. I'm sorry.
Oh, she's paying the bills. She's paying the bills. How dare you? Yeah.
She's paying her husband.
And also, yeah, you're paying, so you're as famous as you want to be to everybody around you if you're paying for them. If I'm paying for, if I'm even paying for dinner with a friend, they better make me feel famous. I don't care. I don't care that I'm not famous. I don't even care. They better treat me like I am because I'm paying. That's how it works. So then we go to Kenya's, and she's bringing in dresses to play dress up with her kid, Brooklyn, who's so cute.
Oh my God, so cute.
And, she's like, oh my God, you did so good in school. You're going to be gone with the wind, fabulous. And she starts twirling around.
So cute.
And then we go to a Noir.
Yeah, and Sonia's looking at gowns with a stylist. And then we see Blaze. Blaze is asking for juice from Candy. And then Todd is working on his script during family. So by the way, okay, here's Todd. Todd, who is working on a script in the kitchen, and he goes, babe, I'm trying to finish this script. Come on now. I'm like, Todd, why are you writing your script on the kitchen table with the whole family there? You're not writing. That's
during dinner time.
Yeah, you're entering prompts into ChatGPT. That's what you're doing right now. You're the reason why we're on strike.
Yeah, and so she's like, well, we're driven people, but this movie is taking up a lot of family time, and I can't win with Todd. Like, I'm too busy, but then he's trying to be too busy, and I'm doing what I need to do, okay? I answered the phone when Blaze called me earlier during the confessional, didn't I?
Yeah.
There you go. Motherhood! I've accomplished it! So Todd is, I guess, on a meeting on the computer. He's like, what was our last scene again? And so Candy's like, I do not have the energy to get this done. I don't have the energy. Which she's probably going to make into a song because that's the kind of fucking machine she is.
Yes.
Okay? She's like going to turn this shitty Todd experience in the kitchen into money. Exactly. Bags of money.
So Todd has to hang up with, I don't know, Diablo Cody or whoever it is he's writing with and be like, I've got my family here. Sorry. So then we go over to Marlo. Marlo's first big scene, and she's with her kids, and Marlo is doing the whole remember last year? Ha ha ha, let's pretend that didn't happen. I'm a great mom now. I'm a great Monty. So the kids are like, the kids make her dinner because she probably was like, hey kids, make me dinner to show people that you love me so people will shut up already. Make me dinner, please.
They do a good job, I have to say. They do Mexican night. They make quesadillas. They make some delicious-looking guac.
Yeah.
Okay? William and Michael are the sweetest.
They are lovely children.
And they also help each other a lot because Michael's like, listen, don't you have homework to be doing? Because you better do it. I don't want to be staying up with you till 1 o'clock in the morning doing your homework with you. Which is so cute.
They are very cute.
Because you can't really ask Marlo for stuff like that. One thing you don't want to ask from Marlo is help with your homework. No. I have a feeling
I would not ask the creator of Le Archive for help with my homework. No. So so Marlo was like, oh, so fancy and fine china from Target, because it's all paper plates. And so she's talking, she's in the her interview look is these enormous earrings, sort of like less exciting versions of Tina Turner's in Mad Max. I think they were McQueen because they said Alexander, but they were enormous, really big. And she basically hasn't heard from her sister. So she's basically like, these are her kids now. Like, there's no more question about, like, is this temporary? Like, yada, yada, yada. Like, she is now 100% committed. These are her kids for the long haul, for basically the rest of her life.
Now, here is one of the only times I'm going to say this. I don't think I've ever said this on a Bravo show. Here's a life coach I trust. Okay? There. I've never said that before.
I don't know.
We meet Sharon, who I think is actually the first life coach we've ever seen that's good on Bravo. Don't you think? I thought she was good. I thought she was. She didn't seem like she was just coming to like take your money and tell you a bunch of bullshit. Like I feel like a lot of life coaches do. There's this life coach in my neighborhood that gets on the Facebook, and she's some rich lady, you know, in like Lakeway, and she's always like, guys, are you connected today? Are you feeling the energy around you? Are you present? Well, that's why I'm here. Give me a call. Let me help you achieve your dreams. Not in the future. Right now. In the present. I'm like, I hate this lady. Roddy, I do not trust life coaches.
Is it your alter ego? Is it Nancy DeBobo? Let's be honest. Are you trying to generate buzz?
Hey, you want to know how I'm going life coach? Get your ass out of bed. That's it. You get a point. Congratulations. Now get the fuck out the door. So Nancy would do it. But this lady's all crystals and shit. But now this lady, Sharon, I don't know.
She seems very lovely.
I bought it.
She seems lovely. I was a little bit like, but she seems lovely. So she comes over and they...
Now, Sharon, are you also an entrepreneur?
Are you selling real estate?
Or a motivational speaker? Or is your face on a real estate bus bench? Yes or no, Sharon?
So, you know, they're just talking, and Marlo's like, you know, I make one mistake, and everyone makes me feel terrible. And Sharon's like, it wasn't a mistake. And then William is like, no, we were having problems too, and you put a lot of stress on me, but it's okay, because it changed. Everything's okay. So Marlo and William hug. It's actually very, very sweet and lovely.
Yeah, and of course Marlo had to get in there. I made one mistake last year, and everyone said I was a terrible person.
Well, it's not like you left out the sour cream on the counter overnight. You were like, I can't deal with these children. I'm sending them back. I'm sending them back to a different home, and I'm getting out of here and going on vacation. God, I can't deal with it. Who can deal with children?
But it worked, because the kids are now more respectful of her, and she's more respectful of them.
That's
so
true.
You know what?
You know what? And now they're writing a wonderful script for Todd.
I know. Todd's just writing down everything he sees. So then we hear a song. Boss up, boss up, gotta get your money up. Boss up, boss up, gotta get your money up. Boss up, boss up, gotta get your money up. Sheree's outfit is $274 from she and Sheree.
Yeah, it's Sheree at home. She's in her She by Sheree. Sheree's booty is like... I don't think I've ever noticed her booty like that before. Maybe, I don't know if she's been working it out or she got a little something going on back there, but it's like that. Her She by Sheree is showing off her assets quite well.
Yes. So let's see what happens in this scene. So Sonya comes over. She talks about fighting with her sister, and literally no one cares. There's a ding dong in the middle, and they never go back to that conversation.
They never do.
Sheree's like, I can't believe you're still on the show. So I got a box that said bop bop bop. I think it was a bomb threat. She's like, no, that was for me.
Bop 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 by Sheree. I'm not familiar. So speaking of ding dongs in the middle of the scene, here comes Courtney, Sheree's friend. Who sort of sounds like a wicked witch. She's like,
she does.
I can't do my wicked witch voice right now, but just imagine.
I don't know. I'm going to give it a while to get her voice. It was very high. I put gangly girl with high annoying voice. That's what I wrote. Because she's kind of a string bean of a girl.
It's like a string.
Who comes in with very big lashes and a very high voice, and she squeals a lot.
She's like a witch who went to a life coach and decided she wanted to get out of witching, and she just wanted to get out of that lifestyle and just be like a mom and just work and just like have fun. Go to happy
We're
hour.
Really coming for life coaches today.
Well, no, this life coach did a great job. It got the witch out of witching. That's a very successful life coach.
So Sheree's like, we know each other because her daughter is right between Cairo and Cali, and she's a Capricorn. So she's not a fake person. I have to say, I don't think I've ever heard anything about Capricorns. Like Virgos, you know, Virgos are anal. Or what are other ones?
You know, maybe Capricorns.
I just know that because I'm Virgo. But what are Capricorns known for? I've never heard
known,
any. Like,
they're just think of an ear of corn wearing capri pants, and that's a Capricorn.
A candy corn wearing some capri pants. That's what I think of.
Yeah. It's like those
those bananas that wear pajamas, except instead of banana, it's corn. Instead of pajamas, it's capri pants, and that's a Capricorn.
Well, she does a marketing, she has a marketing consulting company and a jewelry brand. So she's also wearing her brand. She jangles it all around.
This, again, I don't love the... So another red flag for me in terms of multi-hyphenates is has their own jewelry brand. Like the jewelry thing always makes me a little nervous too, I'm not going to lie.
So is consulting. Let's not lie. Consulting is very not... well explained. I don't understand what it is. So I'm going to reserve judgment. Marketing consulting. Is that where she... Because you could just watch commercials and be like, you know what? I don't want to buy Doritos after this. They should do better. Or is it like, does she actually work and go in and do that stuff for people? I don't know. It's a gray area.
I don't think that commercial consulting is literally consulting on commercials. But I do think, though, that like... the consulting plus DIY jewelry is, I don't know. It's a strange combo to me. I don't mind if you're just purely consultant, but consultant slash jewelry line, I don't know. My eyebrows up.
Yeah, entrepreneur.
And Wicked Witch voice. It's not good.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot pointing to a question mark.
Yeah.
So they're talking about this birthday party and how they're going to go and how they're going to dress and all that good stuff. And Sonia's like, well, Candy was the first one to RSVP, so I know she's coming. And then Courtney goes into this monologue. She's like, well, Candy seems cool. We're in the same circle. I don't know if I told you this, but she, you know, she was calling around asking people about me. And I heard that she said that I said that we were friends. I mean, why would I say we're friends? Because, like, and then she pulled up my Instagram and said, like, what do you know about her? Which I think is interesting because, like, I do think you're global and I do think you're worldwide. So why are you concerned about me? Like, oh, why do you even care, right?
Like, what is this girl talking about? What is this?
This is actually when I started to like Courtney, because this is my favorite kind of housewives storyline. It's so stupid and petty. I heard that she was saying that I said we were friends.
And I don't... Yeah, I was like, I love a petty storyline, but I also I also hate when we are sold... there's a big fight at the end of the episode. And then you start to realize, oh, is this a fight about... a misunderstanding about gossip, about people claiming that they were friends when they weren't. I was like, please tell me that's not what this is. So Sheree's like, well, you know, Candy has a lot of time on her hands lately, and she has time to do that and time to make memes about me. So, yeah, she's making spoofs, a lot of spoofs about me.
Yeah, she's like, the only time that Candy's not talking about me or other people is when she's eating or she's sucking dicks, but not in the locker room. Yeah, she's really hating on Candy for those spoofs. So Sheree's like, she's global. She's global. And Courtney goes, well, I'm not really sure what's going on, but I'm very offended. And Sonia's like, listen, I'm great with Candy. So, you know, we've got something dropping later today on socials.
Reels dropping. Like, we have a
what
spoof.
Is that? A reels?
I think, like, Instagram reels. That's what I assume she meant.
Oh.
Like, oh, we did a spoof thing together and it's dropping today on socials. So cool. Oh. Like, so then Courtney's like, so Sheree, does that glow have anything to do with you and Martel? And Sheree is, I don't know what I'm doing. Everyone, I apologize. So Sheree's like, she's like, oh yeah, he's a good guy. I'm having a really good time. And
we're not like, putting a label on it, she says, which I thought was really funny because it's like the Bayou clothes from China. So then Sheree's like, you know, this is another sign that this relationship is terrible and not going to last. Because she goes, you know, I mean, we both just keep telling each other we want to be intentional with this. You know, we really don't want to waste time. If a man tells you, I want to be intentional with you, no, that is some more life coach bullshit. That is not a real thing. I want to be intentional with you. You are intentionally fucking around on multiple people that you've impregnated, sir. Okay?
Yeah.
That is what you are being intentionally doing right now.
I actually say to Sheree, you should waste time. Like, at this point, this guy is not going to be a good long-term choice for you. So get what you get out of him, which is a great body, good sex, whatever it is, and enjoy that. Because like when you start saying things like, I don't want to waste time, that implies you want to actually have something serious out of this. And so I say, waste time. This is not going to be a serious endeavor for you.
So then we go to Sonia setting up the party at the venue. Well, not setting it up, but she's at the venue checking it out. And she's bragging to us that it's 40 grand, this party. Well, she wanted to spend 40 grand, but she ended up getting casino tables and a DJ. And now it's at 100 grand. And she's like, whatever it takes. Guess what? Would have been a really nice down payment to get your sister the fuck out of your house.
I know. And honestly, for $100,000, I did not think this party looked very good. I felt like you could see by the way they were shooting it, they had to do a lot of close shots so to hide from the fact that it was sort of empty and cavernous in there, and like you would see weird things off the side, like equipment and like exit doors, and I was like, oh, like I don't know. I think of Nicole's party on Miami in that bank vault area. And I was like, now that was like a luxe, gorgeous party. And this was just sort of like tables and some lights. So anyway.
So everybody's getting ready. We see Candy and Todd getting ready. Then we go over to Rico, who's Marco's stylist. And he's like, oh, you know, I love a good bob girl. So he's giving her like her 20s look. She's like, it's going to be... Oh, good.
No, I was gonna say, I believe we previously saw Rico in the world of Married to Medicine and the fashion show.
Oh,
wasn't he like quads?
Heavenly's fashion show?
No, there was like the show on Bravo. There was a show on Bravo called the Fashion Show, I believe. And I think Rico was on that, but he was also wasn't he like quads confidant on Married to Medicine? I don't know. I'm just happy for Rico that he's moving up in the world.
Yeah. So Marlo's like, it's going to be crazy because I haven't seen Candy since New York. And we get out. And he's like, well, you've seen her spoofs on Instagram, haven't you? Because she's been doing spoofs on Instagram. And we see a clip of Candy playing Marlo getting into a club. And she's like, I've had this new miracle surgery. It's on my edges. Do you love it? And Marlo tells us, look. Stick to those spoofs, baby, because Broadway isn't working out for you. It's like, oh, God. Marlo's timing is just classically terrible. You know, like literally this week, Candy was nominated for a literal Tony Award, ma'am.
A Tony Award. A Tony. La Tony Award. So anyway, so now the party's starting. A lot of people showing up in fedoras. Sonia's calling it the Black Met Gala. I don't know if that's so true. And then just more people are showing. Her sister and Terrell are there, not on the job, which is crazy because this is like actually like a big party. So like if there's ever a time when you need an assistant, it's at this party. But they've now guilted her into like being off the clock for it.
Right. So Kenya comes and she's like, my expectations are pretty low tonight, but if Sonia keeps up the shenanigans at the dry beef patties and the Party City decor, I might not respond with yes. But she does come, and Ralph comes alone, and this is where Kenya's like, where's your wife? And he's like, oh, she's not feeling well. We got a family emergency. If anybody wants to watch it play out, I've got video cameras still all over the house. We can watch them from my phone.
Yeah, so Kenya's like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, we got a family emergency because we got a family crisis going on. And so basically, like a vase fell over and the house burned down. And then we had to rebuild the house last night. And then like a car drove off a cliff and like there was a dinosaur. It's like he's just like fully, like you can just tell when he's in lie mode, you know, which is pretty much almost every time he talks.
And Kenya's like, a crisis in the family? I think Ralph forgot that he's married to the crisis. Like, you've got to be there, Ralph. That's part of your family, dummy.
Yeah. So Ralph tells us, you know, she's got a lot going on with her family, and like her father's sick, and she's dealing with a lot. She's got like a husband who's just like not even there for her. So she has to deal with so much. Like this guy just goes out and goes to Tampa, doesn't even tell her. So, you know, she's got a lot on her mind.
So Sheree comes and Candy goes, well, there's our girl of the hour. And Candy's like, she's not our girl of the hour. And then Courtney's like, Sheree, hi, Ralph is my cousin. Did you know that? And Ralph's like, yeah, we just figured it out right now. It's like, what is this, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? Does everybody just show up with their 23andMes wherever the fuck they go?
I know. What was that? It was like Henry Louis Gates there connecting them together. So, yeah. And Courtney keeps saying, shimmy, 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 shimmy. So, Marlo, she's like, I'm going to stay out of the drama tonight. I'm just going to stay by the tables and I'm going to listen in because I want to avoid all the drama. So, you know, which I don't recommend. I think Marlo, you should get in the drama, but that's okay. I get it.
So Sonia and Ross come in and they have like a firework entrance, you know, where like those fireworks, just like those giant Roman candles, basically, where you're basically walking through fire. Didn't look safe. So they come and she gives a little speech like, I love you. You're the best valet I ever married. And so then everybody's like partying and hugging, and then the boys go have some cigars, and Ralph's like, you like cigars, Todd? And Todd's like, no, only hookahs. I was researching cigars for this movie I'm writing, and I got sick on it, actually.
No, Ralph is the one who goes, I had a Cuban and I got sick. And Todd's like, oh, you were throwing up and shit? And Ralph goes, yeah, because you're not supposed to inhale, apparently. I'm like, we'll look forward to all these details in Ralph's next book, The Step in Cigarring.
So Sheree, Marlo, Sonia, and Courtney are talking, hugging, and Kenya sees Martell, and Candy tells us, last year Sheree was here with Mr. Community Service, and this year she's here with Community Property. So good for her.
And then Sonia's like, well, he doesn't have an ankle bracelet, so I think that's an improvement.
So then we see a close-up of a no chip on a craps table, which I think that's really funny because it's like signs, you know, it's like this guy is a huge no. So they're all saying hi to each other, and Sheree compliments Candy on her like hair crown that she's wearing. And she tells us, I don't have much to say to Candy tonight, but as long as Candy and the Candy Click keep it cute, we'll be fine.
So then Kenya's asking Martell if she and Sheree are official. And Martell's like, yes, we are officially dating, exclusively, non-exclusively. She's my girlfriend. Also have someone on the side, but not really. I have anyone on the side. I'm totally into her, not into her at all. So Kenya's like, wow, like, well, why are you looking at me like that? And Sheree's like, because I know you're up to something. Sheree just knows Kenya's gathering information to use against her. You know, like, Kenya yes. is like the courts. Like, anything that you say or do in front of Kenya will be used against you.
One, there's so much mess with this Martell guy. She knows Kenya is going to wield it against her immediately. It's like the start of the season, you know? So she tells us that Kenya's so nosy, and she says, stop worrying about my relationship and start worrying about if Mark is going to take more manor in a divorce settlement, and hopefully he has more baseboards.
So, and then Kenya, this is the part that made me laugh the most. Kenya's like, I think Sheree needs her own spin-off show called Watch Me Date These Dumb Dudes. And they put up a title that says Watch Me Date These Dumb Dudes of Atlanta. And they play like the end of the music. Goes, I cracked up. That was one of the funniest things. Now, the producers are always doing little graphical things on this show to kind of like keep it punchy. And this is, I think, my favorite thing they ever did.
So Marlo is trying to prompt Courtney to, you know, have her big scene. She's like, so wait a minute. So Sonia told me that Candy's going around telling people that she's your friend. What's going on? So then we see a clip of Sonia telling Marlo, do you know this girl Courtney? Because one of her friends called her and told her that Candy went and hooked her up and said that Courtney's going around telling people she's my friend or something. And no one really gets it, right? So Courtney's like, well, my business partner calls me a Paris. I was like, okay, Courtney.
Nice match. Okay. Like, nice drop.
I was just jewelry designing in Paris while I was consulting a baguette shop. And she was like, did you tell somebody that you and Candy were friends? Because they just asked me about it. And like, I mean, come on. Like, I'm desperate for friends. I'm in a Paris, so...
I was, like, literally friends with Carla Bruni in Paris, so, like, I don't think I need any more friends than that. And so Courtney's like, she's like, yeah, there's, like, that person who said it has, like, no reason to lie. So Marlo's like, well, you're gonna have to say something. See something, say something, okay? You better say it to her tonight.
Yeah, Marlo does not get it at all, but she's like, just go fight with Candy. She's like, okay. And then we get my favorite sound effect, the burp. So then later, Candy is gossiping with Kenya and Moneta about Sheree and Martell. And Candy's like, well, I've heard that he's talking to someone else in Atlanta. And listen, I know another person in Atlanta who he's actually been kicking it with. And Kenya's like, well, if it's just about the D, then let it be about the D. Who cares? And she goes, but what if it's more?
Yeah. Do we say something to her? So then, meanwhile, Sheree introduces Courtney to Kenya, and then Kenya's like, hey, can I like talk to you for a second, Sheree? So she pulls Sheree, and then Courtney wants to say hi to Candy. So Courtney says to Candy, she's like,
okay, so Dina called me when I was in Paris hanging out with a French person, and it was like, hey, did you tell somebody that like you and Candy were like friends? And I was like, what? Like me saying that I'm like friends with Candy? Like, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
This is so crazy because this whole thing starts off so funny. So Courtney is standing there with Sonia, right? So Candy's like, oh, hi, how are you? And Courtney goes, good, how are you? And Sonia says, have you guys met? And Candy goes, I mean, we've seen each other, I guess, before, because she's heard all this stuff. So Courtney goes into this whole thing like you just did. So Candy explains to us she knows this girl named Dina Marto, and she's in the industry. And she heard that her and Courtney are doing business together, but she doesn't know Courtney, and she doesn't know anybody who knows Courtney. And she's like, and it's not shade, it's just facts, right? So Candy's like, well, someone asked me if I know you, and I said I don't know you. And Courtney's like, man, I heard that I made up that we're friends, and I was like, but I don't have to make up friends. And she goes, yeah, but I don't know you like that. And she goes, yeah, but I didn't say I knew you. I just said we're in similar social settings. I mean, you know what? Here, Michelle Obama likes green tea, and so do I, so we've been in similar tea settings. I mean, does that mean I'm best friends with Michelle Obama? It doesn't.
So Candy's like, okay, but like, what's this energy? And Courtney's like,
well, the energy is just like letting you know, because like, I was like shocked all the way in Paris. Like, do you know how far that shock had to travel to get to Paris?
And so Candy's like, well, if we met each other before and somebody said your name, I just wouldn't remember you like that. And I'm watching this. I'm like, are they really arguing? They're really arguing about not knowing each other. You know, they're both like denying that they know each other because they don't know each other. Well, but someone like sent this convoluted message that's causing this stupid fight right now.
I think that Courtney is just trying to say, I'm not going around town pretending that I'm your best friend.
Yeah.
And Candy is saying, I don't know you.
Candy's like, okay, I don't know you. It's fine. I didn't say that. But then Courtney's like, yeah, but I just want you to know I didn't say, like, I'm not saying that because I don't need a best friend. And Candy's like, okay, well, that's fine. Like, don't have to come in hot about it. I didn't, like, she's like, yeah, because I don't need a friend. I don't need to know a friend like you. You know, it's like, whoa.
And she does this thing where she acts like she's saying something that is going to please Candy. She's like, yeah, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you. I didn't say that. But then she'll kind of pop her head at Candy. Yeah. And then Candy's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But then what's that? Like, why are you popping your head, right?
Yeah.
So then we go over to Moneta talking to Sheree. And she's like, so listen, you know, I was texting you about Tyrone. Remember? And she goes, yeah, and that's why I'm living my life right now, and I'm just enjoying my life. And she goes, okay, well, but that's what I want to know, because, listen, all of us have been hearing things about Tyrone. And she's like, what have you been hearing, girl? She's like, come on now. It's like, it's all over the blogs, right? Like, come on. Like, Candy heard he was dating someone in Atlanta. And Sheree says, is he here? Is she here? Is she here? Because I don't see her here. And I've been with him the last 2 days. So where's she at? Where's she at? Did she have some fried catfish? Nope. That was at my house. So I don't see her.
And Sheree goes, now Moneta wants to have a voice. You know, she didn't say 5 words last year when we were all together, but now she wants to have a voice. Well, honey, this is a Ferrari, honey. And if he's cheating with another girl, that's a Toyota. And if he wants to downgrade, that's on him. So that's basically Sheree saying, I don't care if he's going to, like, bang some other girl, because I know I'm the better option. That's what she's basically saying.
Which I think is the proper attitude to come into all this with, because she knows that this is going to be coming at her, right? So they can't use this as this huge thing against her. So at least so we think. Mm-hmm. So then back to Courtney and Candy. She's like, but I was told I claimed you as a friend, and I did not claim you. She goes, I just asked them if they knew you. She goes, well, that's not how it came back to me. Okay, but then when I saw the picture of you with Dina, I knew Dina, but I didn't know you.
I'm like, what are they fighting about now? Like, I don't understand what this fight is about now. So, and she goes, the truth is, I don't know you. And Courtney goes,
and the truth is, I don't know you.
And Candy's like, yeah, but what I'm saying is, and Courtney goes,
and what I'm saying is, I never said that.
And so Candy's like, okay, back
back, and she goes, no, you back. So Sandra's like, okay. I'm hoping that you have cleared the air. And she's like, basically says to Courtney, like, you are kind of bringing in energy right now. So Courtney, it seems like Courtney's going to have a nice correction, because she goes,
okay, well, I just wanted to clarify. And, like, thank you for checking me, Sonia. And, like, I'm grown enough to be accountable. And, like, my feelings were definitely hurt. And I have, like, nothing but positive things to say about you, Candy. Like, nothing at all.
And but Sonia's like, sure. Yeah, she's like, sure. It's like a big log. Okay, so this is great. Descended nicely, right? And then she goes,
but I was pretty disappointed, and I do not have to clout chase.
And she does that. She, like, bounces her head. And so Candy is like, there you go again. Now you're bouncing your head. Clout chase. I never said clout chase. And Marlo's, it just cuts Marlo's to Marlo like, squinting her eyes and spying. It's so funny.
Marlo's, like, head is, like, in the conversation, just listening in, like, hmm. So then Courtney's like, well, the energy you gave me. And Kenya's like, but you just bounced up on me. And Courtney's like, bring it down.
And she goes, do not tell me to calm down. You were bouncing at me. And she goes, well, calm the fuck down. She goes, do not tell me to calm down. Like, Candy is getting so mad.
I'm about to headbutt you.
So then back with Sheree and the other girls, Kenya's like, and there's something else, Sheree. You should know that he did slide into my DMs before. And Sheree's like,
let me see the DM. She goes, as a friend, I just want someone to be honest with me, and I don't want you hearing it from anyone else. And so Sheree's like, okay, then why don't we call him over here? And you can tell him what you just told me. So then Kenya's bluff is totally caught. And she's like,
Yeah, she's like, oh, gosh. She's like, I'm not trying to roll on the ground with
what is She-Man over here. I think she's talking about Sheree because she's like, her arms are muscular. She's like, I look too good in this dress.
Oh my god. So then that's the end, but we see clips of next week, and that's when the big fighting goes off, and Martell is just going to come in and start fighting with women. So, You know, every sign points to class, pure class with this guy.
As my dad would say, he has a lot of class, all of it low. That's my dad's favorite expression. Yep. So,
all right, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us today. That was Atlanta. We're glad to have you back, ATL. We will be back later today or early tomorrow with Summer House Martha's Vineyard, which is pretty good. You guys should check that out really if you haven't.
Yep. Thanks, everyone, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.